Way Up with the Virginia for Americans First, and I'm with Patty Brock. She's we're all volunteers to do the survey, and if y'all go around and introduce yourself and what you're.
Lannis Sells, Secretary of the Board. I've just come on the board as of July 1st.
I'm Chuck Haney. I've been on the board started in 2010 or 2009.
When I recommended you when I was chairman, Democratic man.
That's how he got elected too.
All right.
I'm Patricia Morton. Patricia Morton, Director of Elections and General Registrar for the County of Appomattox, and I've been doing this since July 1st of 2020.
Wow.
I am Frank Boyer. I'm the chairman. Been on the board for 9 years, so. Mm-hmm. And go ahead with you.
All right. The first question, and we'll just kind of go through and talk about the questions. Of course, is this your first interview with the Virginia for American First?
No.
Okay. And what is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
I don't think we have any.
We do, I think.
Okay.
It's getting the word out.
Okay.
Getting, being able to afford to either advertise or get the stuff given to us so that we can tell people when they can vote, where they can vote, and everything else.
That's well, I didn't think that. That's. How did you mean that question? Kind of open-ended.
It's intentionally open-ended.
Yeah. And is there any other major concerns that you're...
That they'll show up.
Yeah.
I think the only concern I would have is to, what I talked about the other day, is to minimize the state minimize the number of last minute changes they, mm-hmm. and interpretations that they throw at us, so that, you know, on the day before Election Day or Election Day, we're not suddenly hearing, oh, we have this, or, oh, you've got to do this now. You know, I expressed that concern to one of the state representatives at a meeting Thursday and or Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that I think that's the main concern I would have.
The elections in 2020 changed the direction of elections forever. Got much more complex. People much more aware of what we're doing and complaining about it because they don't understand it, which is probably our fault, but like I said in the past, we've not tried to intentionally educate the public.
Right.
We assume they understand voting, and of course you're not going to understand what we do. We live and eat and sleep.
Yeah.
I know I do. but the concerns I have, I don't have any concerns for this election as far as we're concerned. A major concern, though, that is countrywide is China. Cybersecurity is one of them. But insider security is a problem. People get in a position where they have passwords and codes to keyless entry, and then they do mess things up or get on boards and cause problems. And that's not just a concern, not really a concern here, but it's countrywide. A forum that I belong to, we discussed that last week.
The only other concern that occurred to me as we're talking about this is the cost of ballots to the county and programming the ballots now because of the new law change, which I'm mm-hmm. sure you're familiar with,
yes.
about the reporting by precinct.
Yes.
We now have to have many more ballots than we had before because we cannot rob Peter to pay Paul. If there's low turnout in one precinct, we can't take ballots to another precinct or hold any back as extras. They've all, and the programming of that.
The coding expenses.
Exactly,
really
the coding expense and the ballot expense. So I think the localities are going to be shocked when mm-hmm. they see the bills this time yeah. being a bit higher. And it's very hard for us to predict, to even tell our Board of Supervisors what we expect the bills to be. We don't know yet.
Yeah. So ballots are expensive? The actual coding?
The coding
the programming of them.
Who does all that?
The vendor of our equipment, PrintElect.
Oh, okay.
does the ballot coding. They do what's called LNA, logistics and accuracy testing, and they do all the printing of the ballots.
Okay. So what's the name of that company again?
Printelect.
Oh, Printelect.
But all that is under our direction.
Yeah.
We direct them what we want code and how we want it.
Right.
And the test deck for the logic and accuracy test. But we purposely send that out to a third, to them to do so that it separates us. We can do it, but we want somebody else, a third party, to verify that. But
right.
Yeah. Electric board has to be here, and we have to certify that they did it correctly in the test decks.
Okay.
Brand through, we look at the tapes and verify.
It's independent testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we get billed for that. That's the concern.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We definitely get billed for that.
Well, how much did you pay last year?
I don't remember the total, but I want to say it's on the order of $5,000. And
okay.
I'm expecting it to go up at least by half again.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
And for a small county.
And that's a rough idea. I'm not really good at keeping all the separate charges.
Yeah.
This, that, and the other charge. It actually comes from two vendors. The manufacturers of the equipment do part of it, and Printelect does part of it.
Yeah. So you're more concerned with the price or the fact that more ballots have to be printed?
The fact that the programming is harder. The coding, what Frank's right, they call it coding. The coding of the ballots is harder this time because we need 11 different ballots
for
this election
where
there's one office except for our towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have to have also ballots for the towns. So so that's part of that.
Okay.
We have 9 precincts in mathematics.
Yeah.
So
complexity is big.
Yes, so the complexity is way up. And then because we, like I said, we can't ship ballots at all. Or normally I would vote early voting, and mm-hmm. I know how many. At that point, we decide as a group how many we need in each precinct. And in the past, we'd held some back. So if Stonewall was running low, we send a board member out there with more ballots for Stonewall.
Right.
Can't do that this time. Stonewall's got their own ballot.
Yeah.
So they might as well get them all after I'm done with them for early voting.
Yeah.
So.
Now, can you print those ballots if you run low? No.
There's an emergency procedure, but we don't want to do that.
Okay.
So we really want to have enough ballots and not run low.
So you have to overestimate a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is not as secure as we would like it to be.
Okay.
The information, how they would transmit for us to print them. And
yes, so we've opted
security.
Not to get that. Yeah, we don't.
If we
don't
can't control it here, we don't want any part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I don't blame you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, any other concerns?
I think that answers the third question, too.
I think so.
Okay, yes, you did great.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
I think we will have.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a lot of work to do to get there because we take the state information and make our own training for the officers of election.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Yeah.
I can tell you, and she'll agree, I'm going to make sure we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
Okay.
And things are still changing within the people who are putting the process together. And we won't know the entire thing until probably several more weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hard to run a business. I mean, run anything.
It is. It is. Because the laws change July 1st, typically.
Yeah.
So, for example, our 2022-2023 law book, we don't even have it yet. You know, we can get it online. We can get the information. But it's just awfully late. I need to start writing down the dates of when we get these things because I don't remember when they came last year. But I think it was by now.
Yeah.
Wow. And Lannis alluded to, we'll get new direction or guidance from Department of Election at night. Sometimes I'm getting ready to go to bed. My phone dings. I go look at my wife says, we're going to bed. Don't look at it.
Yes.
It was more guidance for the next day. It changed our plan we already had for the next day.
Oh.
2020 was the worst.
Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm. We were dealing with COVID, too, so I can understand that.
Yeah, and to me that sounds avoidable on the part of the people that are calling. Like the example I used is as if you're bringing a plane in on the runway and you've got somebody in the seat next to you reaching out, cutting an engine off, or reaching out and jerking the wheel, and you're trying to land in the right place. And
that only happens during check ride.
Putting their hands over your eyes and making it impossible. I just don't see how they think that can be that's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to get them, we've changed things, we need to tell everybody. But that causes more trouble than not changing.
Well, they have huge turnover in print-elect up there.
You mean elect?
Yeah.
Elect.
Not print-elect, doesn't it? They're very stable.
Print-elect's very good. Well, I think part of the problem is that the laws, as I said, generally take effect July 1st. Mm-hmm. July 1st to November, first Tuesday after the first Monday, is not a long time. It would seem like it's actually the heart of the problem is the legislature. Yeah. Because if the legislature would make the laws go into effect January 1st, we'd have better time to implement them.
Well, but really they pushed it to September 23rd now. So really it's November.
That's right. That's true. Yes. So
you have to be totally ready.
You have to be totally ready. You got it.
So you're
4 weeks from today. Who's counting?
Wow.
We have to count.
And then, the policy people at LEC are tasked with trying to interpret what the law meant.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's hard to think.
What did the politicians mean? But,
yes.
And then they find out, well, no, that's not what we meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we don't talk like you.
They don't.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Do you have an adequate number of precinct staffers that meet the requirements of having equally declared Republicans and Democrat? If no, how do you plan to ensure that?
Do you want me to take this or do you want to take it?
Probably not. Chuck works on that. We try to have it equal, but we have so many more Republicans than we do Democrats. And most people now are checking undeclared.
Okay, or independent.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We still have the problem of health and all the stuff that's happening with the craziness that we've had over the past 2 years to keep people on the books and not able to keep them in if they get sick. And so we have to have a surplus.
Oh,
and
yes.
We have to be able to work that as possibly as we can.
So do you advertise any or?
We have people on the waiting list. We have no.
Yeah, we're actually in very good shape in this county.
The problem is when we find out somebody's sick.
Yeah.
It might happen Monday night, and we got to figure out by Tuesday morning where we need to send them.
Right.
So we've started adding a couple more officers of election who are on call to our training, just to make our life easier.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you say you pretty much have an equal amount, or you strive?
No, we definitely have more Republicans than Democrats, and the number of independents is going up.
Okay.
I actually haven't compared the three numbers. I should do that. I'll make a note.
Right, so how do you determine? So would you replace a Democrat with an independent? I mean,
you often have to
do that.
Yeah,
okay.
You often have to. The independents
often try
can
to just do it with the people who are.
And it's not like it's 55-45. The governor's left is 80-20. So that gives you a tough time when you've got
And the fact that...
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. Let there be light.
Somebody pay the light bill momentarily. it really... they make more of an issue of it that we don't, because they're like us when they walk in the precinct. They're not a Republican. They're not a Democrat. They cannot show any preferences.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Right.
Since you don't know, how do you know?
Well, we have to.
Well, y'all know, but when
but
you go in,
doesn't
know.
That's right.
And the voter should not know.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, but I'm talking about
I'm 40 feet from the door, people who could influence you. That's one of the rules.
Right. Yes, and that's fine. I understand that, but I'm training to be election officer.
Oh, good.
And so when I go in, I guess would I know ahead of time who the Democrat is?
No, you don't need to know.
If you know,
just need to know that,
if you know
that
something went wrong.
Christine balanced the precinct as best she could.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Okay, that's fine. And then
ideally, I believe the rules are supposed to be you'd have a chief of who's one party and an assistant chief who's another. But that's not even possible always in this country, county.
Okay.
You know, so we just do the best we can.
Yeah. So the rule is, except for the fact we've already given a couple of hints, you shouldn't be able to tell even among us who's a Republican.
Right, exactly.
Right, that's true. Yeah. That's
doesn't
true.
Matter how partisan we really are outside of this function.
Sure.
And it should, That's right. You should be fed. Yeah, we all have this equal goal.
When you attend our board meeting, you should not. Yes. You wouldn't have any indication.
Right.
That we have any political leaning one way or the other.
Right.
Because that's not our role here.
No,
that's right.
So basically, you would replace the Democrats because of your numbers with independents.
If you needed to.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And obviously, the independents can vote in whatever primary, just like all of us can, however they want.
Mm-hmm. The code says you should have equal amount as far as possible.
Right, okay.
When you know it's not realistic.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. The other thing is training.
It doesn't reflect the electorate.
Yes.
They have 50-50.
And getting people who are trained but not working are...
Yes, yes, we have a lot of retirees, and they do drop off every year. We lose a few more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, this is too. I mean, we only do the 15-hour day. We don't do split shifts.
Okay,
it's a long day.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to do it. Are you?
I think there. Yeah, we're just going to be a long day.
Yeah. 5 in the morning is pretty early.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is, and it's harder as you get older.
It is.
A lot of things are.
Yeah.
I teased the board because they've gone home and taken naps during election day, and I'm like, okay, so I get to come in an hour later than you guys, but I'm the last one out the door. You guys took naps, you know?
No, the last couple of years I have not had a chance to take a nap.
Take a lot of vitamin B.
There you go.
We'll survive it.
Oh, my wife gets me all, take care of me all that, yeah. Okay, number 5.
Yeah. All right, did each precinct in your county have partiality observers from the last election, primary or general?
Not each precinct, no.
No. Okay.
Very few of them ever do.
We've had them at CAP. You know what CAP is?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We've had them at Oakville. We've had them at, has Courthouse had them?
Yeah.
Just a few precincts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're pretty well practiced, the people that we're working with.
Oh, we've had them for early voting. Lovely gentleman came, and we found him a seat right between the machine and one of the voting booths, and he just sat there quietly, and then eventually, you know, it's like, you know, you can talk to the poll worker when nobody's in there. Okay, you don't have to just sit there.
Yeah.
You can be polite and have a conversation that has nothing to do with voting.
Yeah. And then last year, I was working with a poll worker, I went to Bedford. Mm-hmm. And worked with them out there. And
As a poll watcher. Okay.
And I learned a lot. It's really interesting. It's very interesting. They knew I was new at it. They said, okay, come over here and we show you how we did this and that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you should be.
And now you're going to be a worker.
And now we're going to be
awesome. That's
great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's a good step.
There's an 8-page rule book for what you can do and what you can't do as an observer.
She's probably seen it. Hopefully. Yeah. And I mean, I'm learning now. I'm still going into the training now for the officer and all that. So.
Excellent.
All right.
I think we've answered 6 pretty well. 7?
Yeah, 7.
You want to take that, Patricia?
Does county house? Oh, yes. So actually, the law changed on this, and they have to inform us much more consistently than they used to. And we are getting death notices through our software,
what's
called our Hopper. Quite consistently. And so we process those within the next day or two. And in addition to this, I'm really happy that Elect finally got their act together for something I was pushing for last year, which was that the registrars were not consistently handling obituaries. Okay. And there was the way I was trained, and then there was the way other registrars were doing it, and then the way I was trained, I kind of got a little wrist slap, and that's fine because I pushed for consistency in the new law.
Right.
And the new directives offer consistency.
Good.
So that all we can do on an obituary is we can mark it so that it would show up at the polls if the dead person tried to vote.
Okay.
But if for whatever reason, like say the person died 2 days before the election, and the official death notice has not come to us yet, then we could at least, if we see the obituary, mark it that way.
Right.
And the poll worker, what you're going to be, would know to say, wait a minute, Harry, I think passed away. Let's call the registrar and straighten this out.
Yes.
And then see what we can find out.
Yes. Okay.
So
but what if he voted early? What if he voted early and then died?
If he voted early and then died, have to pull the ballot. We are not supposed to count the ballot.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, really?
No, we don't know what the ballot is.
No, we have it. We have it still in the envelope.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. If he actually voted on machine,
yes,
then he was obviously alive when he voted, and that's okay.
Yeah, I was thinking absentee.
I'm sorry. By mail. Sorry, right. I didn't explain that well.
Right. No, that's good. Yes.
And so when you say you mark them, is it a column? Is it inactive, or how does it?
So we use paper poll books. We're one of the, I think it's 11 or 14 localities that use paper poll books, and it puts a question mark in a certain column in our poll book.
Okay, and that question mark.
We mark it in the software, and it prints a question mark.
Oh, okay.
But if I got the obituary in my example 2 days before, we actually update the poll books as a, to the minute when we hand them out to a chief, basically.
Oh, wonderful.
If I knew something, I would put it in immediately.
Right, right. Because so I know I've gotten the data, and I'm a programmer by trade, and so I did some data crunching.
Yes.
And so it was hard. I was wondering how you knew. All I knew was active and inactive.
No, there's also a question mark.
Okay.
And the question mark could be that an NCOA card, National Change of Address form, did not come back or did come back a certain day. So the question mark is before they become inactive.
Okay.
And it's in our software that basically they're saying, we question whether this voter still lives here, whether this voter is still alive. There's some reason to question whether this is a valid voter.
Okay.
And we like our poll officers to have as much information as they can to try to make sure that it's as honest and fair as it can be.
So you just call the, call you and you, when they see that, and you clarify and what it is.
Yes, and I'll try to figure out what it is, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Can I take care of that question? Eight is yours, too.
Well, there's a
bunch of
there. I guess you've got
provisional
ballots to deal with next.
Well, we then we did. We didn't do eight.
Oh no, we didn't. But actually, I kind of touched on it. So,
you did.
Yes. So that has changed as well. We used to have a form, and I didn't think we were supposed to cancel voters off the form from the family member. But we could mark it the same way. We're not even going to have the form this time, basically. I believe that they don't even want us sending out the forms. However, the chiefs do give us notes sometimes. And so if the chiefs gives us a note that Uncle Harry died, I can go do that same question mark thing. I can, you know.
Okay.
But I really can't cancel them based on that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Nor would you want me to.
No. But. All right. All right, during the last...
So you have to get it from a more official source.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the family can bring in a death certificate.
Okay.
And they do sometimes.
And that would be official enough?
And that's official enough, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
What we do is we scan the death certificate, even though they don't scan properly. I don't know if you've ever had a deceased relative.
Yes.
You need originals, typically.
Yeah.
But I scan it anyway. It's readable, at least. It's not an official copy at that point. I upload it to our software so that I am canceling the voter officially with backup.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Ignacon's yours, too.
Well, let me read it so that it'll be on the tape.
Oh, yes.
During the last election cycle, did you have complaints from voters that someone has voted in their name? For example, was the mail-in ballot received? The voter claimed that they did not cast the mail-in vote. And was there any you already voted scenarios?
I do not believe there was in 2021.
Okay.
We did have two in 2020 that we did our best to straighten out.
Mm-hmm.
We also involved the state police.
Okay.
And when they went and talked to the voters didn't want to talk to them, basically.
Okay.
So the voters, I think at that point, realized, oh, well, maybe I did apply for an absentee ballot and I lost it, kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was no obvious problem with it.
Okay.
And we think it was just voter confusion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Did your absentee voter drop boxes have video monitors that were monitored in 24/7? If so, did you review them?
We do not have them because the only drop box we have is inside my office. So it's only available when we're here.
Good.
So yes, it's monitored, but it's live monitoring.
Yes.
And it is locked.
Good. Are all drop boxes emptied with the witness of sworn officers of election with more than one sworn officer present?
Typically, not necessarily more than one, because the registrars and the deputy registrars are allowed to empty it alone.
Okay. So, okay.
But typically there are two people here anyway. And no, we don't notify the party chairman every single day that I'm emptying my one Dropbox.
Okay.
We could, but I don't think they're going to know that.
Our party chairman's notified the Dropboxes are emptied and have the option, so you say no.
No, okay. It doesn't really apply. This is, I think this is really geared more towards the outside Dropboxes.
Yeah, I would imagine too. Did the party chairman of both parties get invited to calibrate the machines during the last election?
Yes,
they did.
Yes.
Did they attend? No.
They didn't attend. They accepted, but
they were invited.
Okay, not.
Which is a shame, because I would think they would want to come make sure their members that everything is. I did that when I was church. Always came.
Good. Well, are your voting machines? Oh, that's the next question, isn't it?
Yes, 13.
Yeah, are your voting machines stored and secured between elections?
Yes, they are.
They're in a locked storage facility.
They're all in carts that are locked.
But they're not in a facility that's a storage, like a storage room that you lock to.
They're not in a storage room that we lock behind the main door locks.
Okay,
they're in each individual locked cart that goes to each precinct.
This is something that need some explaining. This seems to be a big concern around the country, this webinar series, because there's nothing in the machines between elections. All that is a tabulator. It's not a computer. And it can't record anything without any programs, USB in it.
Okay.
There's no software in it. All it's in is the control that it worked as a printer or, a tabulator.
Okay.
So it won't even work between.
So you pull out the USB.
And so, could somebody get in it and mess with it? Yes, but we could catch it logic and accuracy. At that point, all that's checked. They are sealed. They're locked. They're put back in the cages and locked.
I can't think of anything they could do to the machine.
I can't think of anything they could do to it.
There's two USBs that go into the machine, the way our DS200 is the print elect. It's made by ES&S, Election Systems, and I don't know what even it stands for. But anyway, there are two USBs that go in there, one that programs it and one that is specific to the precinct.
Oh, okay.
And both are required to make the machine work, and neither of them are in there.
In fact, you take those out every night.
We keep them in a safe. They're locked.
So. Well, once LNA happens, they stay in the machine locked up.
Okay.
So the machine is sealed, the cage is locked, the place they're being stored is locked.
Okay.
And then, so it's at least three locks. No, there's locks on the machine, there's four locks.
Okay. So just a specific password to even open it.
Right.
When you lift the lid.
So that stays in until election day, and it comes out at the end of election night.
Okay.
With the machine that we use for early voting, that stick comes out at night and goes into a safe.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have the police. The sheriff's office is about a block away, and it's in the visibility tract to see something here that shouldn't be here, like somebody arriving in our area.
And if anybody comes in these doors, they're monitored.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's better. Yeah. Good. And you have logs of every time you use?
Yep, absolutely.
Yes. And who has access to these logs?
The electoral board and the registrar and deputy registrars.
Mm-hmm. That is it.
Okay.
So we have a separate secure room where things like the safe are, the logs are, things like that.
Okay. That's it. Good.
Under a different lock system.
All right. How are your voting machines about stored and secured once they are sent to the voting precinct?
They stay in the car or cage until the next morning that the officers come in, unlock it, and take the stuff, equipment out.
So each precinct has its own cage?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they're actually locked behind a door in the machine. Yeah. They're locked
machine
into the
locked.
Cage.
Machine is locked. It's just, and I don't know, if you get through all that, you still can't do anything.
Okay.
Because seems very secure.
When the machine is opened in the morning with the password, first thing it does, it runs with configuration tape, then it runs a zero tape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be zero all the way down. All the office of elections have to sign that tape. It shows on the machine zero. The tape shows zero. And you signed it. And you're under your oath.
Good.
It just can't be messed with.
Yes, love it. Love it. All right, who delivers the voting machines to the voting precincts?
We hire movers.
You have movers, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Commercial movers.
Oh.
And an officer, a sworn officer of election, goes with them.
Okay. All right. And what are the procedures, I guess?
It's actually the same for the ballots. Same.
Okay. And who delivers the ballot? Okay, same thing. But the movers don't move that. Does the election officers come and get them? Or
the ballots?
No. Yeah.
That's changed because once we bought the cages, they were more secure. So they stay in the locked machine,
again,
in the locked cage.
The voting can be, with the ballots in it, is locked.
Okay.
The machine's locked. The cage is locked.
Okay.
And everything's sealed.
And the building's locked. Yeah.
So. And the ballots are wrapped in 100s. And they're sealed. First thing chief does is take those out and verify that she have that many that they signed for the day before. And the cell phone was on all of them.
Okay.
And then during the day, they keep reconciling that.
Yeah.
So okay. It's just... And we go through, three of us, monitor during the day, and first one thing I check my watch, I look at their reconciling every 2 hours, make sure their ballots match the ones that were used, the ones that were spoiled or voided, and if they haven't got that up today, I stand there until they get it figured out.
Okay.
Yeah, we do a lot of traveling around to all of the precincts as a group and as singly so that we can make the observations.
And answer their questions if they'll have, she's gonna have questions.
So each of your ballots has a ballot image as well?
Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Do each of your ballots have a ballot image?
The image is scanned by the machine.
Yeah.
The tabulator scans it.
Okay.
Yes. And those images are stored on the flash drive that we were talking about that gets removed at the end
of
the day.
Not in the machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have images and ballots.
Yes.
And they have to match it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then on Canvas Day on Wednesday, Lucky Board, we pull all those tapes. We don't see the ballot. We pull all the tapes before and after.
Okay.
And see if all that matches. The signatures are all right. And if some of that's not right, officers come in and they got to correct it.
Okay.
Make sure the math is right.
Yes. Make sure that they said, 2,000 people voted, that, yes, in fact, they said 2,000 people voted on the machine, on their paperwork, on their return empty, blank ballots, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
After it's all through and it's undone, the three of us are required to certify that the election was true and correct. That's what we sign. That's our oath. We send that to Richmond. If something's wrong on that, that's a federal penalty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We don't ever let it get that far.
No. Does your county utilize touchscreen voting or paper ballots? It's just paper, right?
We use touchscreen for the handicap.
So what happens, though,
is not a ballot, but
it's called a ballot marking device, and it prints a paper ballot, which then goes into the same machine as the other paper ballots.
So paper ballots are the rule all the time.
Yes. Yeah, we have a paper record for every voter.
So, but you don't, when you log them in, it's all paper.
Yes. Okay. Yes, at the end of the day, or the end of the 45 days, in the case of early voting, we have a paper ballot for every single voter.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When the post-election day canvass is conducted, there are discriminations.
Discrepancies.
Thank you. Discrepancies. Are there counts of ballots themselves or just a reading of the computer-generated report?
Just like I said, it's just the tapes that come out of the machine.
Yeah.
And we weigh that against the poll book and against how many ballots were used and were not used.
Okay.
We never see... Ballots are sealed. There's all the ones that are used go into an envelope. All the ones that are not, and they're sealed, and they sign it. We don't. That goes to the clerk of the court. We never see the ballots.
Oh, okay.
And it's heavy.
We would have to get permission if we needed to open them.
Okay.
So far, any discrepancies have been one or two off where they incorrectly marked the poll book.
Okay.
And we do our best to try to find out exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But that's the best we can do.
I imagine like juniors, seniors, and thirds and fourths.
Either that or the poll book officer wasn't paying enough attention. Maybe they forgot to mark somebody in the poll book. Okay. Maybe they marked the person down below. Okay. Things happen.
Yeah.
But we do our best. I happen to have employees who've lived in the county a long time, and they'll say, oh, I'm pretty sure that Jane came in with her husband and things. Yeah. Yeah. With the poll workers. But sometimes we just figure it out based on, you know, understanding who was actually helping them at the polls.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. The advantages of being a small locality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Bill, House Bill 105, that goes into effect July the 1st, 2022, required that public body meetings, such as the election board meeting, to be posted on official government website within 7 days of the final approval of the minutes. This is in addition to existing requirements that the meeting dates, time, and locations must also be posted in advance. How is your office meeting this requirement?
Carefully.
Yeah. Well, currently I've been posting them, but okay. That may be something Lannis takes over as secretary. We have to discuss that.
Okay.
The minutes are not cannot be posted within 7 days of the meeting, because those are not going to be approved until the next meeting.
Okay.
So we can't approve them by email anymore.
Okay.
So we have to do it in person. We have to vote for it. And then they can go on the website.
Okay, so of approval. So they posted of approval.
Yes, 7 days of approval.
It's always generally going to be 1 month plus 7 days or less after.
Yes.
So the rule is, you know, get the draft minutes to the board as quickly as possible after the meeting. Of course, any time minutes are being taken, that the next day they can go to, but they're just draft. They've never been approved.
Right.
They'll be approved to the next meeting, and then the law is got to post them.
Okay.
Then.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the notice of the meeting, we have a standing meeting once a month. That's posted in advance. And the website says our meetings are the first Tuesday of every month. And then we have others in between. We have 7 days, but actually it's 3 days. But it's got to be working days.
Yes.
Yeah, like this one.
Yeah, not including the day of.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And it's kind of sad, but very seldom that we ever have anybody come in and visit.
It's getting a little better.
It's getting better.
We've had a party chair and others come sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Senate Bill 211 and House Bill 55, both of which go into effect July 1st, 2022, require the state registrar of Vital, thank you. I knew I was saying it wrong. Records transmit a weekly list of deceased individuals. Previously, this was monthly. General registrars will be required to promptly cancel the registration of persons known to be deceased, otherwise disqualified from voting. How will your office address this new requirement, and who will be in charge in making such as registrations or prompts?
I think you covered that.
Yeah, I did cover that. Yeah. So we basically do the work as quickly as we can get to it. Usually it's the day it comes in.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the next day or two, particularly when it gets busier and busier in the fall. But the closer it gets to an election, obviously I want my records as clean as possible. Right. So we keep up.
Okay.
It's not usually a problem at all.
Yeah. Okay. That was it.
You guys seem like you're really on top of everything.
Yeah. We certainly try.
Yeah.
So what your success.